Hey, ¿qué pasa, Calexico? Welcome back to the podcast. Like always, before we begin, I want to thank a couple of my sponsors. I want to thank my friend Camilo, Jake, Edward Velasquez. I want to thank John Cabrera from Mercor, Eddie Lopez from Roots Creative. I also want to thank Dents on Border. If you have any small dents or scratches on your car, make sure you contact Dents on Border. I'll leave a link to their Facebook page so you can go visit them. I also want to thank Sergio's Tacos and Hot Dogs, serving with over 8 years of experience serving the Imperial, San Diego, and Yuma counties with Mexicali-style hot dogs and taquizas. Contact Sergio at 760-562-0057 or follow Sergio's Tacos and Hot Dogs on Facebook. Finally, I want to thank David Gastelum. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Imperial or San Diego counties, make sure you contact David. His phone number is 760-235-9576. He's not only a realtor, but an investor with over 20 years of experience, and he'll teach you along the way in one of the most important investments of your life. So my guest today is a returning guest. I think he's been on like 5 times or something. And it's crazy because I mentioned this in a previous episode that you were on. Every time you're on, it's with a different job description or different role. I remember the first time you were on, I think you were my first or second guest, and we just talked about podcasting, stand-up comedy.
And because you had someone cancel, right?
And you were in the neighborhood. So
in the neighborhood.
Yeah. So it was a good coincidence that you were in the neighborhood. And then the second time, I think you were running for the Brawley Elementary School Board. And you know, every time it's different. You were for the other time you were on for the Imperial County Air Pollution, I think.
Yep, air pollution.
And today you come in here with a new position. You're the Imperial County Public Information Officer.
Yeah, it sounds good. thanks. So yeah, it's been quite a ride.
Yeah.
A heck of a year, heck of a career, but just this past year was pretty wild. So I'm the public information officer. So I handle and represent the County of Imperial, not just the Board of Supervisors, but the various departments that fall under the umbrella of the County of Imperial. Last March, I spent my entire career in the county. So I'm grateful for the county. I started as a volunteer. And, when I got the call for the job and then the announcement, I thought it was just going to be, hey, I got it. Congrats. But man, it's like an emotional, like way more emotional than I expected. Just when I look back to the past year, than just like time with the county. But just the support from the community of people just saying congrats. I felt like people were cheering, like were happy for me. Like, I don't know, it just was really, I didn't expect it. So it's a position that, I highly regard. It's a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm ready at this point in my career, point in my life, to represent the county and inform the people, build trust and communication. Let the people know what's going on. So not just during the pandemic, but beyond.
Yeah. So in layman's terms, what's like a day-to-day? Or, I mean, I know right now it's going to be different, because there's so much, the pandemic and then other things going on. But like, what would be like your day-to-day, kind of thing as a, in your position?
Yeah, it varies. It's every day could be something different. There's short-term, long-term goals, immediate happenings. And, the county is a small organization. So it's just me, various departments have public information officers as well. All department has a team, two public information officers and then others that assist. And, sheriffs, fire have their own liaisons. Even at the air district, although I was an analyst, I still handled public information duties. And I was at the Area Agency on Aging. I was information assistance coordinator, which is kind of a different way of saying public information officer. Mm-hmm. Every day, though, it's, working with the media on happenings, not just what we want to get out on programs. Like I know you saw the fellowship program from our library and promoting that, but also things that are happening in the county, even with COVID or, you know, say, for example, a sinkhole popped up and we get a call from the media. Hey, we heard this is going on. Can you give us an update? So every day can be different. You know, so it's every day it's like, what's going to happen today? And it's keeping my ear to the ground, you know, so making sure my network and relationships, not just media, but community members, other electeds are well. So they can share the info that we can collaborate on. But also like long-term things such as like tourism, you know, I think I've said before, the county or valley is a very unique spot. And so how can we establish things like tourism and bring people, business outreach? Every day is different. And like I said, most counties have a team of public information officers. With the county being small, it's just me and working with the other PIOs from different departments. So it's a lot. It's always different. It's always changing. Like I said, I just started Monday, my first week. But I've been helping out. Like I said, when I was helping with the press release, writing down my career, you know, last March, I got the call. I was at the Air District. And then when the pandemic came, emergency was declared, you know, I got the call, hey, you're going to go help out the Joint Information Center in communications. And so from March to now, until I got the call and the announcement was made that I got this position, I hopped around from different department to department. You know, I went from back in March, I was working on a Hebrew OES, Office of Emergency Services, and I jumped to the CEO's office, working out of the conference room. And I went back to the Air District to help out. And I went to the health department, and the health department, I got moved around. I went back to the Air District, and then I went back to CEO's office. And then here, now I'm staying there. And so, you know, for the last year, I just worked out of I have a briefcase, which is right here. The last year I worked out of my briefcase and with the laptop, my iPad, my phone. So it was a wild year. I learned a lot. I mean, I learned so much in the past year, not from just what I experienced and the work I did, but working with so many different people. Like I said, I worked in different departments. So I saw, you know, people from the health department, from the CEO, the administration center, our board, the Air District, OES. So I saw firemen and law enforcement, you know, just people putting in work day in and day out during this whole pandemic, working from home and not, and, you know, changing our schedules, you know, families impacted with kids being at home, telecommuting. So it was tough. It was a wild year. I learned a lot. And I think it just all prepared me now as a public information officer. I don't know if I was ready for this prior to this pandemic, but after the year that, you know, I experienced working throughout, it's really helped me, and I think I'm ready. And obviously I went through the process and I was selected and appointed, that my work I think spoke for itself. And that's too, like, helped, you know, when people reached out over the past few days, I think the thing that got me the most was like people saying, oh, you worked for it, like you earned it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, that's just, I didn't expect that. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know what to expect. I thought I was just gonna get the job and, hey, happy for you, you know, you know, now it's time to work. But that support, and, you know, going back, you know, like I said, writing the press release and writing my bio, just thinking back to my career, you know, I started as a volunteer, like straight up. I was waiting on tables at Town Pump for my parents, and Norma Sycon, the late great Norma Sycon, was there eating. I was like, hey, I just graduated my bachelor's, I need some experience, can I volunteer? And she goes, yeah. Like, in retrospect, I look back, like, I think she's trying to enjoy her dinner. And here I am, like, hey, can I, you know, but she understood. I think she respected me just putting myself out there. And so I would drive to the hospital, the old hospital by the sheriff's office every day. I would drive there at 8 a.m. and file for 4 hours. And then a position opened up. This is in 2015. And then 2016, I got hired as a community service worker one, which is, you know, outreach. And then got promoted. You know, I've worked under some great people, like I said, Norma Sycon, who I learned a lot from. You know, I briefly even worked under Cheryl Walker, who I still learn from. You know, I watch the meetings regularly, and I've learned a lot from her. Rosie Blankenship, I learned so much from her. And then, so yeah, everything just, I've been very fortunate in the circumstances I found myself in the county, working with, you know, really great leaders and people. And I get, now I'm in a role where I can highlight that. Like, I know what it's like to be a volunteer. I know what it's like to be a community service worker. One, you know, having to, you know, file and print out and do the documents and be behind the scenes. So, you know, I feel like that's all allowed me to understand the employees, like I represent. Like I said, when I say I represent the county, it's not just the organization, but also the employees and who are residents of our county. So I represent the community. Yeah. And so it's a big responsibility. And but I you know, I'm ready. I feel like I can put on for the county, and I will.
Was this something that, like, being in communication, was it something, because for those of you that might not know, Gil had a podcast before I did. It's called Small Town News Podcast. Was communication something that you wanted to do, like, as a career, or did it just happen?
No, other than stand-up comedy, you know, when I was a teenager, which is like a form of communication, which I tell people, you know, people ask me, like, because, you know, I'm not afraid to talk. Even not just with friends, but even in meetings and making presentations, and like, oh, how do you, you know, where can I get some public speaking skills? And I tell them, go to an open mic.
Yeah.
Go to an open mic. Try to make people laugh. Even if you bomb, that feeling of being alone on a stage and people waiting for you to say something funny is different. Like making a presentation, you just have to give them information and be engaging.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're doing comedy, I think you know what it's like.
Yeah, I think giving a presentation is easier than stand up because, you know, you normally, like, you'll have a notes or a presentation that you can go off of, right? But stand up, it's like, sometimes you'll forget your set because if you don't get like the reaction you're expecting, you know, your mind will go blank like super fast. So I think giving a presentation, yeah, and to me, I totally agree with you that stand up, like, to me, helped me, you know, be more comfortable in public speaking, like doing this kind of thing. I feel that, you know, yeah, there's no other feeling like, you know, being up on a stage and trying to make people laugh. And sometimes shit doesn't work, and it's like what, you can't do it. Yeah.
Even like how you know, because you practice. I know sometimes people think stand up comedy is someone just going up there and winging it, but there's and that's part of it too, but. You know, it's material. It's material that's honed. And even like you can say it at home or you can say it to your friends and it can kill. And then you say it on stage and your tone might be a little different.
Yeah.
Or you have a little bit nervous, you know, you're not as confident or the crowd doesn't get it and it completely bombs. So yeah, stand-up comedy is a combination of pre-rehearsed material, spontaneity, on the fly, riffing, crowd work, interaction. It's all those things all on one moment, you know, and you're the focus and on the spotlight. And, you know, it helped me prepare for communications. And I never planned on it. You know, when I was 18, 19, I went to IVC to get into nursing. That's where that's where the money was at. And, it wasn't for me. And then I took a few years off and got into some trouble and had to reevaluate a lot of things. And going back to, I guess, disappointment of this position. When I say I would look back on my career, I also look back even farther and just where I was at 10 years ago and, you know, where I'm at today. And I think that too was emotional for me and I didn't expect that. There's a lot of reflection, you know, from the time the announcement came on Friday and from Friday all weekend, I just sat there and, whoa, like, hey, this, you know, it just felt really good. It felt way better than I ever expected. Because there was a lot of time. I had a podcast and I was pretty wild on my podcast, yeah. You know, and you know, there was times though, I was thinking, is this worth it? Am I getting anywhere? Am I burning bridges? Am I making connect? What is this all for? Is it ever going to pay off? You know, cause at the end of the day, I do have family. I do have my daughter. I do have Holly, you know, I still have to provide. And you know, where it's time, like, am I hurting my own career for the sake of being funny, being a joker, or am I really informing people? Like what am I doing? And I've learned throughout all of it. You know, I think even I was telling, you know, I think during the interview, they asked kind of about that. And I just said, you know, I think also why I felt all the, like, so much support is people have seen me grow, you've talked about it, mm-hmm. you know, how different stages. And, you know, this county was my first job is in a career. It was, I've never worked in an office, mm-hmm. you know? And so I went in like a wide eyed volunteer, just, hey, what is this? Yeah. I didn't know anyone. I have no relative, no friends. I didn't even know what the board of supervisors did, you know, 6 years ago. And I just kind of went in wide eyed, and then I got hired. And the first thing I did was set interviews up with each of the supervisors, just some random community service worker. I remember emailing them and say, hey, can I meet with you? I want to know what the county is about, and just promote myself. Let's share about myself with you. And they did all meet with me. And so I went from, you know, wide-eyed kid to then a mischievous little kid, kind of, you know, causing a little havoc here and there, to then the angsty, rebellious teen, just doing anything for attention, to now I'm an adult, you know, I've grown. And so I think people have seen this progression of me, not just figuring out my career and my path, but just also myself and what kind of role I want to play in the community. Do I want to just maybe be a provocateur instigator, or do I want to really be a beacon of information and really help lead our valley to fulfill the potential I know we have? So I think, yeah, I never planned on getting communications. I never really knew where my path was going to take me. I knew I just want to be active, want to be engaged. And it's led me here. I think, you know, the different roles I've had, or positions I've had in my career, I've always like, okay, what's next? Just like going back to supporting my family. And not that it's about money, but, you know, just I got to pay the bills, mm-hmm. you know, and I want to provide my daughter and Holly what they want, you know, and what they need. And so I feel this position, I'm not getting paid big bucks still, but I'm in a position status wise and even also monetary wise where I could focus on this and not always have to keep looking at what's next. You know, it doesn't mean I can't get complacent, but, you know, there is some comfort and security knowing, hey, you know, this is just settled, you know, because I'm always, like I said, I'm always having to look what's next. I can settle and focus on this job. It's really important, that has a lot of vital duties and responsibilities. And I can do it to the best of my ability.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, you mentioned, you know, growing up, I've known you. I mean, how long has it been since we met?
5-6 years.
More or less, right? And yeah. And in those 6 years, you know, even, you know, me that, you know, we get to talk like every so often. I remember there was a while, was it during the pandemic or before we used to do like Facebook, Instagram lives? Was it during
yeah.
the pandemic?
Yeah.
We would hang out like every, like, I think it was almost every Friday. Yeah. And, you know, we meet sporadically here and there. And yeah, like I've noticed that, you know, that change of, I think when I noticed the biggest change was when you decided to run for the school board. You know, I think you stopped doing your podcast for one, and even stand up for a while. Because I noticed that, you know, you wanted to project this, you know, I'm somebody that, I want the best for the kids of Brawley. You know, your daughter is a student in Brawley. So, you know, it's crazy how, yeah, like people change. Because a lot of people say, like, especially now in this age of cancel culture, you know, they find something that you said when you were in high school and junior high. And, you know, they try to say, like, that's you all of your life. But I feel that, yeah, people change throughout their lives. We all make mistakes. We all do, you know, crazy things just because we're human, you know. And it's crazy how, you know, I got to see, you know, big, you know, a big change in you in like just a couple of years. And, you know, it's crazy how it's, to me, it's been like so fast that it's led up to this, especially in the last year. You know, yeah, you were jumping around from here to there in the county with, you know, helping out with all these different things they were needed because of the pandemic. And, you know, and that I think that 1 year kind of led was a big reason why, you know, you were able to get this position, because, you know, they saw how flexible you are to adjust to all these different things that were thrown at you. And I mean, yeah, I think that's one, if you ask me, that's one of the biggest reasons why, you know.
Yeah, it was tough. You know, even this position, it's like a 24/7 position. You know, things are always happening. You know, it's you know, there's times where on Sundays I'd be having to go out on the site to take pictures and, you know, help be a liaison for the county on, you know, Saturday mornings, waking up and seeing a newspaper article about the county and, you know, starting an email, hey, just giving a heads up. So, yeah, you know, I enjoy work. Yeah, I enjoy being productive. You know, I think I'm one of those people where, you know, if you put me in the forest with an axe, I'm gonna start chopping trees and making paper, or, you know, I'm just gonna start working for no reason than just to work. And so, yeah, it's a position that really suits me well, and I think that's what excites me. It's a position that really suits public information. You know, it's letting the people know what's going on. Mm. And, you know, all my experiences of how, like, going back to, say, I was a volunteer, community service worker, even as an elected official, although there's two separate responsibilities, and I understand what it's like to be on that board, to be a trustee or board member responsible for decision making, for policy, you know, for schools, you know, schools had a lot to deal with this past year. Mm. It's continue. And as a board member, you know, juggling the struggles parents are facing, myself, with work, with a child at home, and a workforce to ensure that they had the proper protection and safety and trust. So I understand that aspect as well of an elected official, you know, having to make decisions. And I guess knowing that, I think it helps our board as well, you know, hey, this is what I think people would like to know, or perhaps what you could say, or messaging. And so, you know, all these experiences in life have just helped me, led me to this point. And I guess that's, like I said, that's what it feels like. Everything led to this. Mm. And now it's what's like, now I'm excited what's next, but obviously focusing on the task at hand. But yeah, it's funny how life works sometimes.
Yeah, it's crazy. And just, you know, this year was so crazy that, I mean, for you, like, it's kind of coming. Well, I mean, hopefully this whole deal of the pandemic is, you know, hopefully coming to an end pretty soon. So, you know, for you this year, you know, ended in a kind of like a good note, you know, like getting this new position and being able to help out the county and, you know, at a top level. So it's crazy that, you know, you were able to get that position in this crazy year that we had.
Yeah. I did not expect to get this position, you know, at the beginning of this whole thing. I just, you know, they called me for assistance. It's for help. Hey, it's my job. You know, at the end of the day, whatever I can do to support our county or the people, I'll do it. And that's what I did throughout the past year. Just what was asked of me. And so, hold on real quick. Uh-huh. So sorry, I'm making pizza today. Oh. So I think because they can't hear you. So
yeah,
it's like I think so. I'm just me talking to myself. So yeah. But yeah, I'm making pizza tonight. So
that's good.
But they are. They're making not me. No, no, we are.
They are. They are.
Penelope is. Penelope. My apologies. Penelope is making pizza tonight. So, yes. But you know. So yeah, it's like all these experiences, all these different perspectives just helped me, I think helped me in this new role that I'm excited to do.
So I saw that, like a month ago, you went down to Mex and performed with, the guys from Chicali Stand Up. Shout out to Eder and Julio Ver and Chileno. Who else is part of that group?
Asail.
Oh yeah.
Asail.
There's a couple of guys that I
Yoli, yeah, there's a few.
So does this, was that your last stand-up performance for
no,
a while?
No, I plan on going down there again. And one thing I need to improve on is my Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so constantly, that's why I went, because I need to, you know, we're a bi-national region and my Spanish, I can get by. I understand it. I don't have the confidence in speaking it. Something I've constantly worked on. I've CDs in my truck. But I figure, you know, what better way to go? Hey, if I'm telling people to get better at public speaking in English and do stand-up comedy, why not me just go up and do it somewhere in Spanish?
Yeah,
and
yeah, for sure.
So I plan on going back there again and doing another open mic in Spanish. Just overall, it's fun, it's enjoyable, but also, like I said, what I can get from it. I really need to get better at my Spanish, something I've been trying to for a very long time, and I think that's one way to accelerate it, is just going up and doing it in Spanish, talking Spanish, speaking Spanish.
Yeah, it's crazy, because I remember the one time we went to Mexico and did stand-up, I tried to do it in Spanish, and I think I did worse than you did, but you did yours in English that one time. But I think you made more people laugh than I did in Spanish.
So I did well. Like, you know, so like I said, I was doing comedy since, you know, I was 18, 17 years old, and there's certain structures and jokes and how you word things and inflection and tone. So I kind of got a good understanding, and I did about 4 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes. And I did very well, surprisingly well. It was fun. It was real fun. And, you know, those guys over there really, I've always said, are building up something really great. Yeah. And anything I can do to support. I look forward to, like I said, going back and improving my Spanish, interacting with some really funny, intelligent people, and also supporting the comedy scene down there. Mm-hmm. And so, I'll be going back. I'll probably be going there to do comedy than here, it's fun. Like I said, I'll definitely go back.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, talking about those guys are really, really, you know, cool. I remember that one time we went, we were gonna get a cab ride back, and I remember Julio was like, "Oh no, you know, I'll give you guys a ride to the border." And they're really interested. They were really interested in, you know, how the comedy scene was down here and how they could, you know, come over and do, you know, do like a show over here. And I mean, those, I always watch other stuff, and he's super funny. Those guys are super funny. And unfortunately the pandemic happened, and it kind of like slowed everything down for them, but it seems like they're picking up again. So if you're,
yeah, if that was their first show. The last time I went to a show was last March. It was Julio Vad's birthday show.
Oh yeah, that's
and
true.
That was back in March, mm-hmm. And then the pandemic, and they didn't have any show. And so the first show back was an open mic recently, mm-hmm. And so it was it felt good to see everyone. They even said, we haven't seen anyone since March. Got everyone in the same, you know, it was outside. So I've never been in the same area though since last March. So it was really good. But you know, that ties into going back to the binational relationships, right? Mm-hmm. With Mexicali and Imperial Valley, like we're one region. And so I think we need to take advantage of that. And we live next to a metropolis, and there's some, you know, misperceptions about Mexico, I think. But it's a really great city, Mexicali especially. It's very diverse. I've just recently been kind of discovering a lot of artists from Mexicali. One thing in my office is I have a few artists. I just bought another piece of art from some guy in, I don't even know where he's, I think Connecticut, the Batman kind of painting, but I have a lot of art in my office. It's one thing the first thing I did was put up various pieces of art from local artists and various artists. And so I've been finding a lot of artists from Mexicali, very talented people. Mm-hmm. There's a saying, Nepantla, which is like in between this, you know, I say our area is that it's like we're in between two cultures, and in there can be some confusion, anxiety, but I think that this environment cultivates creativity. It's being in that kind of state with two different clashing cultures, ideas, nation, really produces something very unique. And I think there's a lot of talented artists in our region, not just in Mexicali, but also in the valley. Mm-hmm. And so it's another scene. They have a comedy scene, they have like a really good art scene. There's, you know, exploring that. I have a coworker who's knows various lots of play, really knows a lot about Mexicali, that we've talked about going and checking out, like I said, the art scene. They just put a museum, I think a Chinese museum.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just before the pandemic, they were working on they call it Chinesca. Or no. No, Chinesca. Yeah, I think it's a Chinesca.
Not Chinesca. Yeah.
So they did really, you know, cool art in the alleyways, and then they kind of like they did really, really pretty and nice. And then the pandemic happened. So, but yeah, I really wanted to go, but yeah, like I said, the pandemic. And then, you know, that area where the La Catedral's at, they closed it off and they did it like a little hangout area. I know that I've been seeing people rollerblade on Sundays and
before the comedy show, I walked a little bit and I saw the church and the bells toll, and it was really nice. Mm. And so even before the pandemic, you know, I take part in meetings and they're revitalizing downtown Mexicali Rose. And so there were a lot of plans in place to revitalize Mexicali and, you know, just build a bigger, better Mexicali, you know, revitalize that downtown, that port of entry where when you walk in, it's a site you want to see that's welcoming. So, you know, the city's making a lot of progress. I think as a county, as a valley, we can work more with them to really spread, like I said, binational travel, tourism. You know, it is a metropolis. It's a big city. And it's all nightlife, great food, recreational activities, you know, sporting events, baseball, the basketball team. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to build some relationships that can really benefit, like I said, tourism, relationships, our economy. You know, obviously the pandemic, there's some safety measures that still need to be worked out. And but I think once we get through this, you know, I look forward to establishing more relationships and just kind of really capitalizing on this binational region. I think there's a lot of potential for us to flourish with what we have to offer as a valley, as a county, and what Mexicali has to offer. You know, they have a big metropolis city, and there might not be a lot of the same recreation activities, like city kind of activities here. But we have the dunes, we have Salton Sea. You know, we have a lot to offer.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's
and
exciting.
Even as big as Mexicali is, sometimes it doesn't feel that big because every so often you'll hear stories where like, oh, you know, so-and-so, yeah, that's my cousin. Oh, you know, we still hang out. And so like it's, even though it's so big, you know, it's still, there's times when you feel it's a, you know, small community because like you'll meet people along the way that are related to somebody and, you know, you end up hanging out in the future and stuff like, yeah, I feel that what the valley needs and Mexicali needs, it's, you know, that sense of, you know, trying to make it feel like we're a small community, because in a sense we kind of are. And I feel like Calexico, that's something that we really need. Right now we're really there's a lot of political, you know, things happening that we're really divided right now, and you know, we really need to come back as a community and, you know, enjoy what we have and each other. And especially right now that in the pandemic, we haven't really seen a lot of, you know, of our friends and stuff like that. Right now we need to set a lot of issues aside and, you know, help each other out, talk to each other in a, you know, a more positive way. And, you know, because, you know, everybody's going through something right now. And we just need to, I don't know, get past through this and you know, like, I don't know, it's there's so many things happening in Calexico that a lot of people don't, I don't know if you're not from Calexico, but it's not, it doesn't look good.
Yeah. I think, and going back, one way I think to bring people together is through the arts, mm-hmm. right? It's, yeah. That's, I mean, paintings and murals, but music, mm-hmm. Stand-up comedy, even fashion, right? I think, going back to Angel's, the last, I think, art walk he had was at 4th of July.
Yeah, and we were there.
And I met so many people. I met Fro there. I met a bunch of artists.
That's true.
And some shopping, some great food. And then you had the fireworks being shot from across the border.
Yeah,
and it's crazy. So it's, you know, that kind of thing, those mm-hmm. kind of things where, you know, I saw amazing chalk artists from Mexicali chalking a Statue of Liberty mm-hmm. in Calexico, you know, it's beautiful. And so I think that going back to, you know, I think that's why it attracts me, the arts. I know art can bring people and bring people together and build bridges, like indirectly, right? Sometimes you're at a comedy show laughing with someone, you don't even know who that person is, but you guys are sharing a moment. Yeah. You guys are laughing at the same thing, and you guys might even disagree. And one might agree with what the comedian is saying, the other might, but it's also funny and engaging and perspective. It's laughter. And so I think the arts is one way to bring people together. I know, like I said, the collection, what's going on. But I think, like I said, it's a tough time right now for everyone. And I think as there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and as we approach that light and then get past it, you know, these things like art, these events that are going to bring people together are really going to spur relationship building and get us through the next step and then pave the way for what's next.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So what are some of the projects that you're currently working on that you can maybe share with us, you know, from the county?
This is my first week. So, yeah, right now just getting settled, getting in familiar with the different departments. Although I'm very familiar already, just making those connections, and not just with different departments, but the media as well in my role and how I can share information and gain to know different members of the media. I was also with the community. I mean, not that I need an introduction, you know, I think, but I'll be going around to different city councils and different boards, introducing myself, how we can collaborate. So right now is just really settling in, kind of paving the next steps. Obviously, I said tourism is a big thing and how we can promote some of the things of the county. You know, I know hemp is a big, is a growing industry that we're looking at in the county. And I know it talks of us once events and conventions are begin again next year, how we can start spreading the word on what we can offer. But right now, like I said, projects is just settling in, building relationships. Right now, I just want to really focus on building relationships with, I said, the county departments, with the community. You know, some people may still remember me from my podcast or not. Perhaps I got to go and introduce myself and let them know, hey, no, I represent the county now. I'm not like that no more. But, you know, just that's my focus right now. Obviously, there's going to be things on the pipeline that I have ideas for that I think I can help. That'll help the county. Mm. We're now just focusing on the immediate things at hand right now and planning the next steps.
Have you gotten any you mentioned your podcast? Have you gotten any weird responses because of somebody that know you from your podcast?
No, like I said, going back to the support I got or just seeing the positive feedback. I don't expect any negative, but you never know, right? You never know. But the positive feedback, I think I can, like you said, going back to I've changed, I've grown. I think people have seen that. Like, I didn't have to say that. I don't think I've ever said that other than maybe here, but I'm not on Facebook, you know, hey, I've grown. It's just, I think people have seen it, just a progression. So no, I think there's one comment like, hey, I miss when you had that show. that's a compliment. But I think too, if anything, people just know that, hey, I was someone that was always out there. I think too, people put, oh, great fit. I think at the end of the day, whatever I was saying, whatever, how I was saying it, I think people respected that I was putting myself out there. And just letting people know what's going on, at least from my perspective, whether I was right or wrong, you know, what side I was on. I think at the end of the day, I thought I was doing a good service and just letting people know what's happening. Yeah, it's my take. Yeah, I'm probably going to say a joke about it. Yeah, I'm going to give a spin. But at the end of the day, hey, I'm trying to let you know what's going on. And I think, like I said, I think they got a lot of people respect. It built me credibility. I think it built trust. At the end of the day, I think it built trust. And I can, you know, leverage that goodwill that I've built throughout the past years into this new role.
Yeah. And I think for me, in the beginning, like, cause you already had like a little following, like people were the people that came on your show, like you kind of already knew. And then, it slowly started spreading the word, like on your podcast. Like for me, it was like, I had to gain people. A lot of people were like, what's a podcast? Who are you? Like, nobody knew me. So like, I'm like, oh no, you know, trust me, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm just going to talk to you. So like for me, it took me a while to kind of like get the people's, trust to be on the podcast. And luckily, like now I have a lot of people that, you know, reach out to me and like, be like, hey, can I be on your podcast? I want to share about this project we're working on, or, you know, this, you know, other things going on in the community. So yeah, it's funny how, you know, like I said, you know, people knew you because, you know, you're outspoken. I'm not really that outspoken. You know, I don't, I try not to get in a lot of drama, but I mean, not that you were getting drama, but like you were speaking your mind and, you know, sharing your opinions. I think, I don't like that attention. So yeah, for me, yeah, it was like,
at times I didn't either, man. At times I didn't either.
Yeah, I remember what times were like, you would tell me like, oh yeah, so-and-so threatened to sue me or whatnot. Yeah. So yeah, so to me, like, it took me a while to get people to kind of like trust me and be on the podcast, and it's funny how, you know, things kind of like work for.
And honestly, during this pandemic, you know, I worked with some people that I perhaps didn't see eye to eye with prior. You know, this pandemic really, I think, put in perspective for a lot of people the importance of relationships, of us, what we mean as we're all in this together. You're hearing that, and I think for many, it kind of made us really think, like, well, we are all in this together.
Yeah.
I'm from Brawley, but you're from Los Angeles, but we're still the Valley. Like, our county still is heavily impacted. Mm-hmm. And so there's some people, you know, prior to March 2020, where if you'd asked me about that, during this pandemic, I had to work with them, or I worked with them some way. I communicate with them and got a whole new perspective on many people throughout this. You know, not even people might not have worked with, but seeing people, you know, put in the work or get the word out or move and shake certain things. And so yeah, I think, like I said, this pandemic helped shape the way I saw things and people, and like I said, what it means when it says we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. And so everyone went through something in 2020 and the whole pandemic, and I was no exception. I was no different. I've learned a lot of reflection. It was a pretty wild year. That, you know, like I said, we're still in it, but it feels, everything I experience, I try to take something from it. And seeing people put in the work and in behalf of the Valley, really change how I saw and interacted with people.
Yeah, and I think it's crazy how a lot of people, I mean, we should take pride in our towns, but like, proud to be from Calexico, but at the end of the day, like, we're on the Valley, like, you know, if you take an aerial picture of the Valley, like, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere and it's just us, right? So like, you know, we gotta learn how to work with each other and support each other in every way we can, because, you know, we're, like I said, we're in the middle of nowhere, and we saw, you know, I mean, we were in the freaking national news, you know, because of COVID, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't pretty. It was really, really ugly. And that kind of shows you how we got to, you know, help each other out and be there for each other. And you saw a lot of people, you know, pulling through for other people. Like, you know, if you need, like, I remember going to Facebook groups where, people would be like, oh, if anybody's sick, if you need groceries, let me know. I'll pick them up and drop them off at your house. And, you know, all these little things that you're like, damn, you know, there's people in our Valley that are, you know, that good hearted, that they're willing to help anybody, you know, they don't even know on Facebook, you know. It's, and, you know, it, like you said, like, everybody went through something. But, you know, it looks like we're pulling through, we're getting out of this. And yeah, like, it's crazy that, you know, we're like this little big town in the middle of nowhere, and we gotta learn how to work with each other.
Yeah, it's just us, you know, we're from Brawley, from Calexico, Calipat, Highland. Hey, we're all from the Valley. Mm. We're all from the county. Yeah. And so and not only that, you saw, like I said, the binational, how we're so related and impacted. You know, what happens in Mexicali impacts us, what happens here impacts Mexicali. Mm-hmm. And so that also, I think, honed in that, you know, I never knew who the mayor of Mexicali was prior to this year, and, you know, I got to meet the mayor, who's now running for governor. And so hopefully we can continue that trend of, you know, where the people from the Valley know who the mayor is. I mm-hmm. think we should know.
Yeah.
Same. And so I think a lot of you heard that word essential, non-essential. A lot of things that were vital that and essential information and things we should know, I think, kind of got brought to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And we should know who the mayor of Mexicali is. We should know what issues are on border crossings to facilitate smoother transition, smoother crossings for those who work here and there. And so I think that was an interesting thing I learned as well. And I think we can take from it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I didn't really know who she was till like this year, probably. I didn't know she was that young either. She's like 34, yeah. I think 34, 35.
Yeah, so she's possibly
the next governor. Yeah, Baja California. Governor.
Yeah, so I could say I met the governor. If she wins, but you know, we should know. Mm-hmm. You know, for as much too as people go to Mexico, come back and forth, not just for work, but going back to a lot of great restaurants, a lot of amazing restaurants. There's a nightlife. There's family going back to you, saying, "Hey, if there's relatives, you know, there's those relationships should be stronger." I think we'll move from this. You know, work from the Air District. I saw a lot of the Air District work closely with Mexicali on behalf of the Air from Border 2020, AV617, Imperial Mexicali Air Quality Task Force. So from that level, you know, there's relationships there, and it's capitalizing on that. Mm-hmm. for different sectors, for different, different industries and different organizations. And I think you'll get that. I think you'll see that even some of the art walks, there's, like I said, people from Valley and Mexicali. So I think those relationships are everywhere. And now it's just how can we bring them together for a single vision that can benefit our entire region? So there's a lot of potential, I think, moving forward. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have to get through this pandemic in a safe manner. But I think moving forward, I think there's going to be a lot of progress.
Yeah.
As soon as it's, we're able to.
Yeah. And something that, you know, I think me and you mentioned a while back was the fact that we kind of like hate hearing like there's a lot of potential. So, you know, knowing that you know there's potential, and like you've hated people mentioning that word and not really.
No, I say it all the time now.
So, no, but I mean like not really following through and you know, make sure that potential, comes to life.
Yeah.
I feel that, you know, yeah, like that potential is in good hands with you, you know, knowing that, yeah. That you know, like kind of where to go. In turn, like you mentioned the art, I think art is a really good way to bring the community together and you know, bind those relationships we have with Mexicali and every city here in the Valley. So yeah, it makes me feel good that, you know, you're there and I know that
and understanding that it's bigger than one person, right? Yeah. It's bigger than me. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it goes back to the relationships that I might not be here, you know, in a year or years from now, but I built relationships where, hey, there's a mission, there's a vision, mm-hmm. and that others can carry that on, you know? And so, yeah, there's a lot of potential. I understand that it's going to take everyone. And I think that's why I'm really big on the relationship build, and that it can kind of get spread out and to ensure that whatever needs to be accomplished to fulfill this potential will be because of the network, because of the individuals that are working towards this goal. So, yeah, I think I got understanding of that. And I think that'll help me as well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know it's Saturday afternoon and you want to go hang out with Penelope and Holly. So
yeah, I got to go to the store and get some pizza ingredients. It's one thing I said during the pandemic is we stayed home more. And I've shared with you this is, you know, I've stayed home more. You know, I've spent more time with the family than before. And good and bad sometimes, right? Sometimes we get a little stir crazy, all of us in the same house for, you know, 5 days at a time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I made sure she did her schoolwork, but she learned how to bake. Like she learned some skills that I don't think she would have learned without the pandemic. Don't get me wrong, she struggled. We all struggled, you know, seeing her friends, not being on that playground. But, you know, she did. We try to make the most of it. I think if one thing I hope Penelope learned from this is no matter what, you know, is thrown at us, just keep pushing forward, you know, make the most of it. That's what I try to do. And that's what Holly's trying to do is just make the most of this crazy time And yeah, one thing she learned how to bake. I mean, she can, and she'll make a cake from scratch.
Oh, wow.
Completely from scratch. Not from the box. I mean, sometimes she gets the flour and the eggs, and she's got a KitchenAid. And I give her the free reins. You know, she's like, I want to make a cake. I'm okay.
And baking is really like kind of like scientific, because you know, you got to follow measurements, and it's not an easy task. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, from scratch. Mm-hmm. Like, and I let leave. Holly will go to work, and she's like, I want to make a cake. I think she knows. She waits till Holly goes to work because I let her make a mess. okay, go ahead. She'll just be in that kitchen toiling away, and I hear the stuff moving and shaking and stirring, and then she pulls it out. Even now, she won't even need help turning on the oven. Before, she's like, I need the oven turned on. Can you put it in? Now she puts it in herself.
Wow.
And gets it out, and she makes the frosting from scratch.
Wow.
She'll be doing Roblox while making a cake.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of affected the quality a little bit. And I tell them, hey, you gotta be multitasking. Yeah. Either way, she's playing Roblox while making a cake, and this cake still comes out pretty well.
Maybe she should start selling her cakes at Brownies.
I think so. And so, that's one thing. Like I said, if anything, you know, we got from this whole thing was baking, and like she could pick up some skills that she didn't have before. So yeah, right now she wants to make pizza. It's fight night. There's a couple big fights tonight. So, you know, Holly's mom will come over, and so her grandma will come over, and I'll make some food. She'll make a pizza. Maybe she'll make some dessert, and that was kind of our pastime.
It was the opposite. I became my son's personal chef. He doesn't cook for shit.
I cook. Like, I make breakfast and I make dinner. But Pal is just a dessert maker and baker. So we kind of had a little trade off there. And then Holly helps with the cleaning because I make a huge mess. Penelope makes it. Me and Penelope both just make huge messes.
Yeah,
unfortunately, Holly has to clean it up.
I work in the back of the house, so like I've learned how to. I'm a good clean as you go kind of guy. So,
not me.
I'm really like whenever I'm cooking, and after I cook, like I need to clean up because I don't know. It brings me back to.
I feel like you cook a lot from Sam the Cooking Guy's recipes.
Oh, yeah, that guy's good. I like that guy.
I feel like you like that. Yeah, I cooked one or two things from him. YouTube helped a lot. And Binging with Babish, I like that.
There's Mythical Kitchen. I don't know if you...
I don't think I've seen that one yet.
Do you know Red and Link from Mythical?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they have like a cooking YouTube channel. But it's not them. They have like another crew doing the cooking. And I kind of like, I've done a couple of the recipes. The other day I made Hot Cheetos fried chicken.
Oh, how was that?
I needed more Hot Cheetos. It wasn't spicy enough for me. But it was good. I think fried chicken is something that I started to make during the pandemic, and I really like it. I think it goes toe-to-toe with KFC's fried chicken.
I got to try that out. You know what's really good is French toast, but get corn flakes.
Uh-huh.
And you crunch them up, and you know, you dip French toast in the egg,
and then
before you dip it in crushed corn flakes.
Uh-huh.
And then you throw it on the pan, and the corn flakes give like a nice crunch.
Frosted flakes, or what corn flakes are you using?
No, you just regular corn flakes, because the frosted flakes, I think you use frosted flakes, but I think it make it a little sweet, especially with the sugar or the syrup, and maybe you want a powdered sugar, but the corn flakes, and you throw some powdered sugar and the syrup.
Mm, I gotta try that then.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah, I forgot where I got that recipe from, but yeah, we did a lot of cooking too. But now we also had for Christmas, I got a pasta maker, so she'll make, she hasn't done in a while, but she'll make pasta.
Wow.
And then I'll do a little recipe and the thing. So yeah, we learned some skills over the past year that, like I said, we wouldn't have learned, you know, in the past.
Yeah.
The meeting I would have had to go to in Calexico and, you know, pick up my 6 to 9, you know, I could now do, you know, from home during the Zoom. maybe even off camera. I won't say that. And while I'm cooking, just, you know, sometimes there's some meetings where I'm not going to speak. I just got to hear what's going on, and I'll be off camera, but hey, help me cook or help me do something else. So,
yeah, I did that too a lot here in the house when I was working from home.
Yeah, we came efficient.
Any closing thoughts?
No, like I said, I'm really grateful for this opportunity. I really am humbled by this opportunity to be the public information officer for the county on so many levels. It just not as a career county employee, but just I love the Valley. I don't see myself leaving the Valley anytime soon. And what better way to serve our Valley than, you know, being a point of communications and information and on behalf of people who not just work for the county, but live here. You know, people who work for the county live in the Valley. And so, you know, it's layers to it. And so I'm not just representing the workers. I'm representing people who live here, our neighbors, or your family members of someone you may know or of yourself. So, you know, there's a lot of great people. So when I say like there's a lot of potential, it's because I've seen firsthand of really amazing people throughout the Valley, not just that work for the county, but just in general, you know, like you're doing this podcast and informing people. You got people who are putting on community events. You got people who are advocating just because, you know, they don't get anything out of it other than a sense of pride of knowing that they're doing something for the community. You know, I understand the podcast. I had one sponsor, and I said, there's a lot of times where I thought, is this worth it? And at the end of the day, you know, I thought what I was doing was right and a good service. So, my closing remarks is just, you know, I look forward in this, in serving in this role. You know, I'm 31. I feel older sometimes, but people remind me, like, you're still young. And I don't feel it sometimes. But it's really exciting. Yeah. I think, you know, people talk about millennials sometimes, but now we're millennials are in their 30s now. You know, we're in our 30s now. We're not kids anymore. We're adults with families, and so I can help, you know, help us lead the way for the generation that may be retiring and maybe want to take a rest, and also the generation that's coming up, and we can kind of be this. These leaders for the community. So, yeah, it feels good to be in this role. It feels good to just how it came to be, you know, from, you know, being young and dumb to a volunteer to various roles to assisting in a pandemic to now in this position. It's life has a funny way of working out, and life has a way of putting you where you need to be. And you may not want to be there. You may not expect it, but it's where you need to be. And I was where I needed to be throughout this pandemic. And I took advantage of these opportunities. And knowing that, I think, kind of drives me to do as much as possible, because I was granted with some really great opportunities over the last year, and just be only right to take advantage of them for the people.
Yeah, for sure. Well, congratulations on your new position. Thank you for taking this time on a Saturday, nice Saturday afternoon. It's crazy because Saturday is, you know, it's the kind of like the only day I'm not rushing around like work, trying to help cooking and cleaning and all this stuff. Like Saturday afternoons is like you said, like you wake, I don't wake up early. I wake up really late. I sleep in because I stay up late on Fridays. It's my like me time. I'll play video games and maybe stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/ que pasa Calexico.
There you go. Plug it.
Yeah. So, Saturdays are like my little me time. But yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time. You can come back whenever you want and share any information that the county has to offer.
Or get your interviews with some department heads, with some managers, some staff. A lot of great work. Like I said, you've seen some of the programs, like a scholarship program that just came out. Sheriff's just had an all-women swearing-in ceremony for. So there's a lot of things happening. Mm-hmm. A lot of things happen. One more thing, you know, I think sometimes, like I said, a lot of departments are small. We're a small county. So people might be so busy doing just the daily jobs, the things they need to do, that promoting these things they're not able to, because mm-hmm. there's so much is going on. And so I think that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, for sure.
How to promote some of these happenings. So yeah, definitely get you connected with some people. And so you can have a slate of guests that can share more about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm, for sure. All righty, good. Well, thank you. Thank you once again. Thank you guys for listening or watching. Make sure you continue to be safe, wear your face mask, wash your hands, social distance if you haven't been vaccinated and you're meeting people that you don't know where they've been. And so, let's continue to trend, you know, these numbers down. And we're getting there. We're almost there. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.